The right choice every time.
Grace FM.
You're listening to Vocal Point with host Leslie Hurst. Each week, we take a look at practical issues that concern the Christian community. Remember that you can also listen online at gracefmradio.com. gracefmradio.com. Now, back to Vocal Point with host Leslie Hurst.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with me. We're going to talk to Jan DeChambray. She serves as a peer mentor to newly diagnosed cancer patients at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, one of the world's premier cancer treatment centers. She also serves as a chaplain at St. Luke's Hospital in suburban Houston and is involved with Emmanuel's Light, a new Christian cancer support ministry. She's a professional musician, international speaker, and former faculty member of the Shepherd School of Music at Rice University for 15 years. Her primary calling is to minister to others with the light and love of Christ. She and her husband, Philippe, have a son, Paul, and they live in the suburbs of Houston. And if you want more information after our time together, you can go to glimpsesofhope.org. We're talking with her today about the book that she co-wrote with Carrie Oliver, her husband Gary. Carrie is with the Lord now. It's called Glimpses, Two Stories of Hope and Healing. And let's go ahead and welcome Jan to Vocal Point. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Leslie. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Did I get your last name pronounced correctly? You say it.
No, you did really well. DeChambray.
DeChambray. Ah, okay. Didn't say it exactly right. It is beautiful, though, and in the reading of your book, your husband's family, I guess, has some roots back in Switzerland and still property back there, right?
Yes. In fact, much of his family lives in Switzerland, and so we are privileged to make regular pilgrimages over there, and happily so.
Well, when I announced that you were a professional musician, I have to read this in your book, too. Martin Luther from Music is a Fair and Glorious Gift of God says, I'm strongly persuaded that after theology, there is no art that can be placed on a level with music. For besides theology, music is the only art capable of affording peace and joy of the heart. So next time, maybe we can have you share some of your musical talent with us. That would be wonderful.
Well, I would enjoy that.
All right. Well, today you're going to give us a little peek into this amazing book about your story and Carrie Oliver's story. But before we begin with that, I want our listeners to know what you've been through, Jan. And I tried to pick out everything that you had mentioned in the book, and I could not believe one person has been handed this many physical trials. You were in a rollerblading accident and herniated some discs. You were bitten by a brown recluse spider. You've had nerve damage in your arm that lasted for over a couple of years. You had your appendix out. You had gangrene in your intestines. You had were diagnosed with uterine cancer and suffered the miscarriage of twins, and which led to a hysterectomy. I mean, that's unbelievable for one person's lifetime, Jan. And you just have this still love and faith in God, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, right?
Mm. You know, Leslie, I have to say that this is not a book about cancer or even what I have endured. It's a book about the testimonies of Jesus, of who he is, and of his promise to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I can honestly say that he has kept every promise and has blessed me with the fullness of his presence.
Wow, that's quite an incredible thing that shows that people on the other side of suffering, there's a beauty, and that God doesn't leave people alone, and that probably a deeper faith, a deeper understanding of the character and presence of God than many of us who haven't walked some of those deeper valleys have experienced. Now, you co-wrote, or you were inspired to write this book by Carrie Oliver. Tell us who Carrie was and how you met her.
Terry Oliver was a very well-known Christian counselor and national, even international speaker. She and her husband, Dr. Gary Oliver, co-founded the Center for Relationship Enrichment at John Brown University, and they've written books together on relationships, particularly marriage and raising children. And I had actually known of Carrie because we share a dear mutual friend, Barb Talent. And in the winter, early winter of 2005, the caring pastor at our church came up to me in the hall one day and said, "Jan, I have an assignment for you, and her name is Carrie Oliver." Well, I had already heard her name, and not only that, but I had been praying for her because my friend Barb had told me that Carrie was suffering from pancreatic cancer. Mm. And what I didn't know was that she would be coming to MD Anderson for treatment. So our pastor, who also knew Carrie, had given me the privilege to come alongside her as a friend and mentor through this experience. So that's how we met. We actually met just before surgery in January of 2006. She was lying on a gurney, and I walked in, and I think the nurses thought we were sisters, and from then on, it was really a friendship made in heaven.
Wow. And how far along in the friendship? Because she originally was told that the prognosis was really severe, in that they didn't even know if she'd live 3 to 5 months after she was diagnosed. But she lived, what, 18 months more? And you mm-hmm. had that relationship with her?
Yes, she actually lived 2 years and 2 months beyond the,
wow.
the prognosis. And it was just an amazing, really, acceleration of only God can do things like this, that in 18 months, according to our friend Gary Oliver, her husband, we shared a friendship that some people never have the privilege of sharing.
Right. It sounds very unique, which gives, I mean, some of the lessons, Jan, we want to hear from you. Those of us who have not journeyed through cancer, sometimes we don't even know the questions to ask for, to pull out from you the things that would benefit us spiritually from your life, from your experiences. And so I would love for you to do that a little bit for us. You do it in the book. You give us excerpts from Carrie Oliver's journal that she kept during the whole time of her feelings. Just her faith was incredible, and her relationship with you. And then you also guide us through your life during the things that you had gone through and what the Lord did in your life. But today I wanted to start with the title, Glimpses, and where that came from, where the title came from that you wanted to express from you and Carrie's experience. What are you trying to tell us with that title?
Glimpses is actually the title of the very last chapter in the book. There are 36 chapters, all of which begin with scripture and end with prayer. And in the final chapter, it begins with, after the scripture, a journal entry from Carrie written just about 10 weeks before her death. And she says, "I began to look at my own life in terms of a glimpse. Is God giving me a glimpse of some sort? What is real that I can live right now, and what is it he has for me in heaven with him? How much heaven can we really have on earth? Wow, what a question. Mm-hmm. I know God has been showing me heaven with him. I do believe that much of what he is showing me is something we can already have with him. But for so many of us, we are too involved in other things in our lives to catch this glimpse, let alone live the glimpse of living heaven on earth. In my glimpse, I have been driven to go to God. I cannot exist without him."
Wow. When we are suffering, many times we want to isolate ourselves. It takes a lot of energy, especially if we're going through physical trials, to be able to take care of life as it comes at us. But I would love for you to share how important that you understood friendship and sharing the experience really led to more strength.
Absolutely. I think that by nature, I am a contemplative person, and Carrie was also. And both of us learned to function as extroverts from our introverted nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we began to see that as we reached out to others, that we could encourage them, which would actually lift the burden from us because it brought him into the equation. It's God's math, you know, his marvelous way of doing exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine. So as we share the burden by lifting up others, God comes in and then he just inhabits our praises and our faith in him. And we begin to live that kingdom life on earth as it is in heaven. That we begin to live by his principles and to see that he keeps every promise and that we effectively show one another his love.
Absolutely. You not only shared a cancer journey with Carrie, you also shared some of the pain of other members of the family going through trials and things. And certainly we need to know how to draw on the hope and the Word of God to be able to have joy in the journey and even strength for it. She, just 2 months before she passed away, her son Matt died, and then you also experienced a sister passing away. And it's not just that they died, but that they died at the hands of their own taking of their own life. And that, again, adds another dimension of pain to a family that is not easy for others to come in and understand and be comforting with, but only and also to go to the Lord with. Tell us how you and Carrie got through both of those things with your family members.
It is fascinating how God preordains those things that will comfort us. My sister had taken her life in 2004, and it was just the following year that I had been assigned to help Carrie Oliver through her illness.
Yeah.
And I was really, Leslie, still very much grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the sharing of Carrie's journey through her illness that I found so much peace in an oblique way. We didn't dwell on my sister's death.
Right.
We really dwelled on the promises of God and on who he is, the knowledge that my sister knew him, the knowledge that she is safe with him, and that we really focused on our merciful, gracious God who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others with that same comfort with which he has comforted us.
Yeah.
And then when the Oliver's son, Matt, took his life on May 6th of 2007, which was only 2 months before Carrie died, I had had the experience of going through the grief of my own loss, and I felt equipped to come alongside Carrie and Gary and to allow them to have a safe place to grieve. I think with that kind of loss,
yeah,
suicide, there's often so much, well, shame.
Yeah.
We don't know how to deal with it. Even clergy often don't know how to deal with it. And so those who are left behind can feel very isolated and really not know how to deal with it. But that's what is so beautiful about the body of Christ, when we can come together with one another and not only share the burden, but bring the knowledge of who he is into every situation.
I was thinking about it, Jan. What a gift. You know, the verse that says iron sharpens iron, somebody explained it to me recently where I hadn't really thought about it, and that is, that's two equal metals.
Mm.
And the idea that the Lord brought you together with Carrie because you were on the same spiritual plane, it seemed you were at the very similar maturity levels in how you wanted to trust God and what you believed about the Word and your own, you know, and so that there was such strength because one was not pulling the other. Each was like right there beside the other, which I think is so beneficial, it sounds like. But I do want people to know that as much as we believe the Word of God, and as much as we know God's love and care and presence, that our own physical bodies can have reactions that are out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
And you give that example and tell us that in your own life, when you were grieving over Carrie passing away, that your voice gave out. And, yeah. You know, you also, when your sister died, you also lost a sense of smell and taste and vision, almost like a migraine type of a response to stress. So sometimes it's not a matter of you don't have faith. It's a matter of, you know, physically it takes its toll, right?
Absolutely. We live in a world where, as Jesus said, you will have trouble. But he said, take heart, for I have overcome the world, John 16:33. And very much so. I have had trials that I have not understood at all. But what is so beautiful is that in the midst of them, he comes in ways that we don't expect. And he hones our faith by his very presence. After my sister died, yes, I completely lost my sense of smell and taste, and I had a migraine that went on for days and days and days. Finally, mm-hmm. the doctor ordered an MRI of the brain, and I was told to expect the results shortly. And when they didn't come in a timely way, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit impress on me, be still and know that I am God. And he also sang, really to me in my spirit, the hymn, Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on thy side, wait patiently. And so as I waited, I had friends call me and say, don't you think you should call the doctor's office and find out what the results are? And I said, no, he's told me to wait. And as I waited, I just kept hearing these encouragements through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I turned on our Christian radio station in Houston, KHCB, and what should be on the air at that moment but the hymn, Be Still My Soul.
Mm.
And to me, Leslie, that was worth every minute of suffering because it showed so intimately that God was meeting me at my point of need in such a specific way. And then, shortly after that, after the song played, the phone rang, and it was the doctor's office saying that the MRI was normal.
Wow. Wow. There's incredible joy and love and walking with someone that's explained in this book, Glimpses, Two Stories of Hope and Healing by Jan de Chambria. Did I say it right?
De Chambrier.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, that's all right.
but I want to ask in the remaining moments a couple more questions. And one is, obviously, when we have faced severe things like cancer and untimely deaths of loved ones, we realize the brevity of life. We realize that there is a purpose of being close to the Lord and knowing what he has for us. And so for you, Jan, what has that done to impact how you are living your life today and how you might encourage those that are listening to have those same thoughts?
I think it really is the knowledge that we are not citizens of this world, but that we are citizens of heaven, and that we have a time here to choose whom we will serve, and then to impact the world with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really all about that. As the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the life I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is my purpose, to glorify God with whatever time I have, because none of us has a guarantee. We have a guarantee in heaven. Our hope is in him. And for now, we can live as he admonishes us, as Jesus taught, that we can live his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
And I think this is an insert. I don't know if it was you or Gary Oliver from Lamentations, just to quote, and this is reflective of the kind of inspiration you'll get from this book, Glimpses, from Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. And I was referring to, you know, consumed by the trauma of the suffering that we go through. For his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And then though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. And as we read this book, we see that over and over as you describe it in your life, in Carrie's life, in Gary's life, others that you describe, that even though grief comes, God's presence is very, very strong, and his compassion and love is very strong in those times. And what a blessing to have specifically picked out friends from the Lord to go through it with. Someone might say, well, I don't have that friend, or do I go look for that friend? Jan, what would you advise?
You know, practically speaking, there are resources. There are, for instance, I have a website, and I would love for it to be more interactive, and there are support groups. One of them is Emmanuel's Light. You can find that online at emmanuelslight.org. There are organizations that have support groups, Christian support groups, that one can join to have others come alongside you and vice versa during a journey like this. And I think ultimately it really is also James 4:8 that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And we find that friend in Jesus. So we can find others who are going through common experiences. And as you said, iron sharpens iron.
Right.
We can help one another through them. And we can feast on the Word of God and grow in him, in that knowledge of who Christ is.
The book is called Glimpses, Two Stories of Hope and Healing. You can go to glimpsesofhope.org. There's also a carrieshealth.com. If you want to go back and read Carrie's journal entries and her story, you can know more about that. We have three copies today. First three callers, 954-776-7705. Toll free, 800-903-9234. Thank you, Jan, for being with us today. Can you stay on the line after we say goodbye?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back with you next time.